That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are, another new year upon us, a time to examine what we can change and accept the grace of what we cannot. I think about that as it seems like just moments ago when we held our Living Nativity to remind the community of the true reason for the season. In the aftermath, as we picked things up, there's a sense of relief that we wouldn't have to do this for another year. Yet at the same time, rejoicing over the experience and analyzing what might be changed or added to enhance the experience. I thought of these things as I reviewed the gospel lesson given to us on this day at the end of Luke chapter 2. The reason I bring this up because much of the narration for the nativity play come from the first part of Luke chapter 2. I was drawn to review the portion of the narration when Mary was in the olive grove and the birth of Jesus was foretold. This is where the narrator reads the following. And thus, through a simple girl, the Lord's divine plan for salvation of humankind was set forth. The Son of God would become the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Where is Jesus, the Son of God? Those who pack away the reason for the season along with all the Christmas decorations for another year could very well be left wondering the answer to this question. Truth be told, and as you are well aware, Jesus is both God and man. But I often wonder, who among us stops to think about that connection and why it matters? While the Bible truly reveals Jesus to be God, and it also makes a definite case for his full humanity, we can read from the Gospels that in addition to Jesus performing spectacular miracles, he also gets hungry. He gets angry. He gets tired. He cries. He gets heartbroken. He bleeds. And ultimately, he dies. All very human attributes. Today, we take a closer look at the Son of Man, incarnate into the full scope of human life. We find that he did not just sample human life. He dove into the pond all the way to the bottom to his crucifixion and death. He did not live his life in strength and power, but in humility, and initially through the gentle cry of an infant humbly born in a manger. Just like you and I, he was a real child who was loved by his parents, who, like all children, grew and matured. If you're like me, childhood was quite some time ago, but not long enough ago to where I cannot recall the time when I was convinced in my own mind that I was all grown up. Oh yeah, looking back, I was just a boy who thought he knew it all and ready to venture out on my own. I'm thinking maybe some of you could relate. There's that point in adolescence where that sense of being all grown up was inviting us to leave the nest. In the Gospel of Luke today, we learn that Jesus is 12 years old. Far from maybe our understanding of being ready to leave the nest, but in Jewish culture, that age was about the time when that in fact did happen. Let me direct your attention to an interesting transition in Jesus' adolescence in two verses recorded in Luke's Gospel account. The setting was in the Jerusalem temple courts where Jesus was listening and asking the teachers questions. These verses 40 and 52 act as bookends to our lesson for today. Let's first look at verse 40, which I'll read to you. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Okay, now take a listen to verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Did you hear the change? At the beginning of this section, Luke says the child grew and became strong, and ends with Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Something important happens in this scene, which Luke wants us to relate about this child. This same child who is wrapped in swaddling clothes just 12 years prior is quickly maturing and ready for the next step in his life. The Son of Man grew in wisdom and is now clearly aware that he is the Son of God. We know this after Mary and Joseph realized Jesus was not with them as they journeyed back home to Nazareth. Taking 3 days of backtracking to find him in the Jerusalem temple, Jesus replied to his parents in verse 49, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I'd be in my Father's house?" On this day, Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus was growing up in divine wisdom and stature. I'm leading a men's Bible class here on Sunday mornings where we are studying the book of Proverbs. It's not too late to, if you men out there wanting to fulfill a New Year's resolution. At any rate, our group have relational conversations about wisdom and knowledge. One of the first things we discussed in chapter 1 is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. A good way to remember this contrast is that knowledge is a correct understanding of the world. And wisdom is knowing how to apply that rightly. That is why we are given the Old Testament lesson on this day from 1 Kings chapter 3. As was read earlier, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give you." Now Solomon, he could have asked for anything under the sun, but he chose to be given wisdom. So that is what the Lord thus gave him. And with this wisdom, Solomon went on to write the book of Proverbs, a book to let those seeking knowledge increase in wisdom by learning. Jesus, the Son of Man, knew that before he could become wise, he needed to learn. He knew that the element of becoming a teacher was to be teachable. Like Solomon, who taught profound knowledge and understanding, Jesus proceeds to engage with the scholars, foreshadowing his mission of remarkable teachings and guiding humanity towards principles of love, compassion, and divine truth. The wisdom displayed in his formative years heralds the timeless truths he would share with the world. Is that not what the goal in our lives is as well? Gaining knowledge so we may do well to apply wisdom? However, as we have discussed many times in the men's Bible study, folly can look pretty darn attractive. The temptation of taking the path of folly that drives self-centered thoughts and actions, letting wants and needs turn to greed, placing roadblocks in our spiritual path. That reminds me of a humorous story about a farmer who found an old lamp in his field. After picking it up and rubbing the dirt off of it to see what was inside, out jumped a genie. The genie tells the farmer he has 3 wishes, but these wishes must be 3 months apart. So the farmer wished for $6 corn, and poof, the price shot up there. But sure enough, corn soon went back down to $4 where it was. So once again, 3 months later, he wished for $6 corn. Voila! It was granted, and soon the price fell once again. Then it comes time for his final wish, 3 months after that. And you guessed it, he wished for $6 corn. The genie finally asked, why would you waste all three wishes on the same thing? What are you going to do different this time? Well, the farmer replies, this time I'm going to sell it. But you know, how often does the folly of greed control us? Not only greed, but many other paths we take that lead to this destruction that folly delivers, such as pride, adultery, anger, untruthfulness, drunkenness, laziness, and many other directions we can get tempted to go that lead us away from God. As humans, in our sinfulness, we tend to make the same mistakes time and time again. Choosing the right path is not always easy. Relationships are complicated. Decisions are difficult. Sin is real. In our journey of crossroads and dead ends, opportunity does not offer us a genie and three wishes to get it right. Solomon writes in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. As many times as we take the wrong road, if we put our trust in our triune God, he will make our paths straight again. This narrative in Luke of Jesus' childhood serves as a lesson in choosing that right path. A reminder that our faith through divine wisdom goes beyond age and experience. Jesus' example challenges each one of us to seek understanding, knowledge, and communion with God from a young age. Just as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, you and I as believers are encouraged to mature our spiritual growth and seek a deep relationship with divine wisdom, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Remember the bracelets and keychains from the 90s with the initials WWJD? Those were designed as a reminder of what would Jesus do. Pretty good reminder, really, when faced with life's spiritual complexities, questions, and pains that separate us from having a personal relationship with him. What would Jesus do in my difficult situation? How can I imitate his strength to overcome my adversities? Modeling the life of the Son of Man as a way to keep our hearts and minds on that right path. A reminder to spend time in his word, pray, and live like Jesus would as an ultimate goal to becoming Christ-like. Through this personal relationship we develop with him is why Jesus' humanity matters. This is why we celebrate Christmas with reverence and awe. That is why the Son of Man came in such mean estate. Because God wants us to make an eternal connection with you, I, and all people. This story today is about a child who is obedient to his parents and God his Father. This lawful obedience, which is not going to be easy and will sometimes almost seem foolish, is a life to which God is calling us to live. An eternal path given to us with justification through faith. All this we see in the life of that boy we call Jesus, and what God will see in us on the last day. All because the Son of God would become the Son of Man. That is the Jesus who ultimately suffered and died on the cross, which broke the chains which sin has put upon us. That is why Paul boldly says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live by the flesh and I live and faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. With this confidence, we can start out this new year refreshed that God has taken off the limits of our fallen humanity. The chains which sin has put upon us, that means Jesus, indeed the Jesus who lives in us, is not constrained by the chains which Satan has forged for us by the fall. Through faith, we can confidently say, because of Christ who lives in me, the rules of acceptable behavior, the shackles of buy and sell, the bondage of depressing expectations can no longer control me. By doing what Jesus would do, I can hang around with the outcast. I can give and receive freely. I can dwell in a world which the sins are forgiven. The hungry fed and the downtrodden are lifted up. Yes, we could keep adding grace upon grace. We can not only dream of these things, but we can start acting on that dream and living in that world today by what we say and what we do. All because the Son of God who became the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, lives in you every step of the way. Let us shine that through that. Let us shine through Jesus' life. Let us shine this year knowing that. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.